Happy Thursday, and this is me now doing a test with video on Spotify. We'll see how it goes. And this week has been an emotional roller coaster, to say the least. On Tuesday, I waved goodbye to the talent company, in public at least, still there for a couple of more weeks. When one door closes, another opens, and I can't spill the beans just yet, but I'm hopping off the consultancy train and jumping on board an in-house role. And now cue to dramatic music. But as for full stack HR, the plan is to keep it chugging along. And after all, it's the perfect space for me, I feel at least, to unleash my thoughts on HR and the future work. And I hope that you'll continue to enjoy the ride and join me in lively discussions throughout the continuous part of 2023. But now let's grab our snorkels and dive into today's topic. And on Tuesday, Meta dropped the bombshell announcing yet another round of layoffs. And coming just a few months after their previous round, they've now laid off nearly 20,000 employees. Ouch. And it's intriguing how the tech industry's narratives has shifted gears. It used to be higher, 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 but now it's all about efficiency. And could it be that Elon Musk's Twitter shenanigans have rubbed off on the industry? Zuckerberg's blog post does echo some of Musk's wilder tweets. And what's the message then in the blog post from Zuckerberg? Well, Zuckerberg highlights five key points which we should all pay attention to as they are likely to impact us in one way or another. And those five topics is: flatter is faster, leaner is better, keep technology the main thing, invest in tools to get more efficient, in-person time helps build relationships and get more done. None of this is shocking, except perhaps the last point. And three out of five relate to people in HR, at least in my opinion. And the reason why we ended up here with Meta doing cuts is no secret. Hint here, it's because they have higher, higher, higher. And Gergely Oro's big disclaimer for the pronunciation here. He has an excellent post about why Apple hasn't done any layoffs. And even though it talks mainly about that, it also shines a light on why companies such as Meta now need to reduce their headcount. And you should really read the full post because it's a great one. And as said, it shines a light on the overarching situation here. What is a big surprise to me is the timing of the second round of layoffs here. Conventional wisdom says that you cut once, you cut deep, and you cut fast. Yet, here's Meta, only 6 months later, wielding the axe again, with no major revelations other than the five listed points, which is largely the narrative they've also spoke about last year. But what will this mean for us in the people departments? That's the question I'm always asking at Fullstack HR. Well, big tech companies have always influenced the rest of the industry. Though this might change in the coming years, they still shape how we conduct business. So even if Meta now feels as cool as Microsoft did when Steve Ballmer screamed his lungs out, many still look up to companies like Meta, Twitter and Apple and whatnot. Hence, they influence us. And we also have smaller tech companies and their investors driving the more with less narrative as the environment has shifted, the macro environment has shifted. And while macroeconomics undoubtedly have changed, as we can see, we saw in the chart, Meta remains profitable despite its massive headcount. So no, it's not down to earnings here purely. It's a sentiment shift, a change of course and a change of mindset in the tech industry. And the pendulum has swung from higher, higher, higher to efficiency, efficiency, efficiency. And we see that throughout numerous amount of companies. This means we can expect more efficiency-related chatter throughout the year. OKRs will likely take the center stage and productivity will be a hot topic. And usually this means organizations want more control, especially over their people, want to control their people. And it's easy to get caught up in this narrative and try to assert more control while working at these companies. And our job, as I believe it at least, in the people department is to help balance and even this out, help our leaders to understand the context and achieve organizational efficiency. and it needs to be tailored to our specific workplaces. This is nothing groundbreaking, I know that, but when leadership teams start clamoring for more control or advocating for the dreaded sort of 9-box grids, we must step in from the people department. We need to keep our cool and remember what truly drives performance and engagement. And hint here again, it's usually not 9 grids and TPS reports. So what do we do instead? Well, for me, it's doubling down on trust and autonomy. Companies that sprinkle trust and autonomy into their secret sauce are actually investing in their employees' happiness and growth. And this kind of culture lets folks take the reins, make decisions, and own their work, leading to a smorgasbord of creativity, innovation, and engagement. At least that's my perception. And to whip up this delightful culture, organizations should focus on crystal clear communication, hand over the keys to authority, equip employees with the necessary tools, and throw confetti when they succeed. And leaders ought to walk the talk by showing vulnerability, admitting when they goof up, which we all do, me included, and generally caring about their team's well-being. And I believe that we, the HR department, have a vital role to play in nurturing trust and autonomy, especially when faced with leaders itching for more control and less wiggle room. Here's a few suggestions on how we can do that, all the things that I talked about. Well, one example is to have open-hearted chats, encourage see-through communication between employees and leaders, creating a space for free feedback and ideas. School the leaders. Well, train them. Host workshops or training sessions, highlighting the wonders of trust and autonomy, emphasizing why empowering employees is important, not controlling them. And I also believe that we flexible work plays an important part here. Rally for flexible hours, remote work options, helping employees strike the sweet balance between their personal and professional lives. If you do that and you face competition from tech companies that are now strict hindering this more, well, you'd be better off. And then keep score as well. Track those key performance indicators that show trust and autonomy to boost employee engagement, productivity, and retention. So show it with data. Track the data that you think is important. Be a trust and autonomy ambassador. Nudge leaders to embrace this approach and showcase the effects of doing it and highlight the good examples. And by focusing on this, by focusing on trust and autonomy, we can create a supportive environment that drives performance truly and also drives engagement without resorting to the outdated controlling tactics of the past. I think it's like swapping a rusty bicycle for a shiny rocket ship, the shiny rocket ship then being autonomy and trust. And this might have been an unnecessary reminder, but hey, then at least you get one. And yeah, I needed one as well. That's it for today. And that's also the first now then video version of the podcast. I hope you had a good one and I'll catch you next week.